This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is where Danny Duffy plays.
Expecting more to the sentence. I was expecting a little bit. This is where Danny Duffy plays. Okay, my bad. I didn't know. No, I had no clue. Rob, I have a question to ask you after we get done talking baseball with Vern that just popped in my head, and I don't think anyone wants to admit it, but we'll talk about it anyway. I am very excited about our next guest hopping on. He is our Royals insider. I'm so happy he has to work this Friday. That's all I really care about. Josh Vernier joins us on the show. Hey, Vern.
Is this where Tyler Zuber plays as well?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. Going to be like a here on. It was like, here's
right,
where.
Here's,
I was
yeah,
like,
here's oh. C-Dot or something.
Yeah, I was like, okay, all right.
It's true. Yeah, Duffy's going to pitch here on Thursday.
Congrats, Danny Duffy. I didn't know that you played here. That's actually pretty awesome. So we're going to allow you guys the opportunity to ask Vern questions. Text line 913-576-7610, hashtag Hey Vern, and we'll ask your questions to Josh Vernier. Before we get to people's questions, what did you make of Daniel Lynch's debut yesterday?
I thought his final line was indicative of the stuff that he had: 4 2/3 innings, 3 earned runs, a lot of great defensive plays behind him. You could say Whit Merrifield's inability to make a good throw to Carlos Santana cost him a pair of runs, cost him the ability to finish off that fifth inning. The slider wasn't there in the first inning. Fastball command struggled there in the third and fourth. But you could see it. You could see the talent. You saw the upper 90s fastball. You saw how, when commanded properly, those breaking balls are terrific. And his changeup has really been the pitch that has unlocked this door to the big leagues for Daniel Lynch. So, look, I think it's perfectly said by him after the game. I'm not going to be picky for my big league debut. I need a little bit more. Before I make any sort of judgments on the young man, but what I saw last night was a good first step.
It certainly was a good first step. So we had on Brian Polberg, who is the AAA manager for the Omaha Storm Chasers, and sort of asked him his thoughts, his opinion, his evaluation of Daniel Lynch. He thinks he can be a front end of the rotation guy. Do you agree? Are we talking about an ace? Are we talking about a one? Whenever people say front end of the rotation guy, what do you think they mean with Lynch?
Yeah, number one, number two on a championship team, no doubt. Cole Hamels-like, that's the name that he's quick to bring up. That's the guy that he emulated early on in his career. Cole Hamels was a World Series MVP, was at least a preseason Cy Young dark horse favorite for a solid 5 to 6 seasons, his time with the Philadelphia Phillies. So, when you're 6'6 coming from the left side and you can touch triple digits, as long as you can command it, you're going to be someone that the manager is going to hand you the ball and say, give me 7 innings. I think Daniel Lynch can do it. The only issue is when you're that big, when you have that many moving parts, can you repeat your delivery? Can you adjust back to the league when they first catch up to your arsenal? Those things only time will tell.
So I'm sitting here looking at Cole Hage and sort of what he accomplished in his career. 4-time All-Star, won a World Series in 2008, was the MVP of the World Series in 08, also the NLCS MVP, and also has a no-hitter in his career. I don't know what I need to do, but if you're telling me I could press a button right now and lock in Daniel Lynch to be Cole Hamels,
all day,
I will absolutely sign up for him to be that.
Yeah, all day. No, that's ceiling. That's, you know, why this guy was the top ranked pitching prospect in the organization. But, you know, 5 years ago, we're saying Adalberto Mondesi has the talent to be Francisco Lindor. He hasn't, I don't even want to say hasn't lived up to that billing, just hasn't played enough to even come close to living up to that billing. So same thing could happen with Daniel Lynch. But as far as projecting his talent and his size, Cole Hamels is the guy.
Vern, when do you think we start to worry about Hunter Dozier? So because we're at the 100 at bat mark for Hunter Dozier, I think he's been their worst consistent everyday offensive player. When do you think that worry starts? 150 at bats, 200 at bats? When do you think that worry starts?
I can't give you a definitive number. I would say when, you know, Hunter Dozier's not making solid contact, he's punching out on a consistent basis. I've seen a lot of bad luck early on. I've seen a lack of confidence at times early on. So to give you a date and look, if he's still doing poorly by then, I'm going to panic. I don't know. I need to see the evidence. I need to watch the games. I need to see what kind of swings he's putting on balls. I need to see how he's carrying himself on the field, in the dugout, around his teammates. Currently, not concerned about Hunter Dozier all that much.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll do hashtag Hey Vern. If you got a question, now's the time to start putting it into the text line, 913-576-7610. Vern, when I saw the Adalberto Mondesi news, I thought that that spelled bad for Adalberto Mondesi. I thought it meant that maybe he wasn't going to be up in May and it was going to take until maybe June, end of June. Am I kind of overthinking it, or are these two moves unrelated?
You mean the Escobar?
Yeah.
Alcides Escobar?
Yeah, just looking at Alcides Escobar, looking at his position, looking at his durability. When I saw that, I thought it meant that Mondesi wasn't going to be here for a while.
No, I mean, as far as what we heard from Dayton Moore yesterday, we're still hopeful that Adalberto Mondesi will be able to start a rehab assignment a week from today, if not, not this weekend, but next weekend when the team's out on the road. You know, that's the optimistic view. Now, the Alcides Escobar signing to me is just organizational depth. You saw Nicky Lopez run into the umpire, have a little scare in that game last night. You couple that with the fact that one of their minor league shortstops, their AAA shortstop, Lucius Fox, dealing with a little bit of a hamstring. Next to pitcher and catcher, you can never have enough shortstops, but you certainly can have too few shortstops. So to me, it's just organizational depth. Eske's a quality clubhouse guy. Obviously, he's desperate to get back into the game. So, sure, you can have a few ABs in Omaha for the time being.
Vern, it is time for our new segment called hashtag Hey Vern. Text line 913-576-7610. If you've got a question for our Royals insider, now is the time to do it. Hey Vern, when did Keller need a mechanic change? That seems to be new this year.
Yeah, I don't really buy that he needs a mechanic change. I understand not wanting to openly discuss negative thoughts, even though over the past few weeks when he's on with Bob and Josh, he's been very open and upfront about fighting off the negative thoughts, fighting off the lack of confidence. To me, Brad Keller's issues are 90% upstairs. To me, the first two starts of the season, it was a case of a young man with real pressure on him for the first time in his professional career, playing for a team that has heightened expectations for the first time in his career. Everyone that's around him in the organization, everyone that covers him in the media, has called him the horse. Oh, this is a guy that's going to eat up 180-plus innings. And to me, with every pitch that he made in those first two starts, he was trying to put up 180 innings, a la Mike Moustakas in 2014, where you keep looking up and you understand the expectations of this team. You understand you're letting this team down, so you're trying to hit five-run home runs, and you end up grounding out or popping out in foul territory to the third baseman every single time. Brad Keller early on was trying to put together a monster season with every single pitch. Lately, what I'm seeing is a guy following the multiple errors of Whit Merrifield three starts ago that ultimately sank his start. And then we see Hunter Dozier make a miscue behind him in his most recent start. To me, when you have those negative thoughts in your head, they end up manifesting themselves on the field in this game. You know, if you're thinking, all right, here comes the pitch, can't give up a three-run home run, you're more than certainly going to give up a three-run home run. Brad Keller's trying to not make a mistake. He's thinking way too much out there. He's trying to right the wrongs of those first five starts with every single pitch, and that just never works. Maybe that's somewhat similar to what we're seeing with Hunter Dozier. We remember Mike Moustakas when that team went to the postseason and those stats on Crown Vision were wiped away and everybody was hitting zero. No one had a stat to start the postseason. Mike Moustakas could hit some sort of a reset. Well, Hunter Dozier, Brad Keller, they don't get that luxury, at least not for another 5 months. So they need to find somehow to hit their own reset button, find some confidence, go out there and contribute to team wins, and slowly but surely those numbers will turn around.
We are doing hashtag Hey Vern, a new segment we'll do every Tuesday, which gives you guys the question to ask Vern, your Royals question. Hashtag Hey Vern, do you believe the Royals' lack of quality starting pitching will ultimately cost them the division?
I think that was the concern coming into the season. I think we all believed that the defense would be strong once again. I thought the bullpen would be the strength of the team. I think we thought base running wise, they'd be solid. Offense would be improved. The question was, Brad Keller serving as the number one of this rotation. Again, Brad Keller, a lot of these guys, honestly. Brad Keller, Jacob Junis, Danny Duffy. It's been a while since there's been real pressure on them, real expectations. And you know, Keller, obviously not good to get started. Danny Duffy has exceeded anyone's expectations. I don't believe that he's going to have a sub-1 ERA over the course of the season, but I also believe that Daniel Lynch is going to improve. I think that Brad Keller is going to improve moving forward. If there is something that brings this team down, yeah, I think it will be pitching. Is it starting pitching? Is it the bullpen? We'll find out, because the loss of Kyle Zimmer to me is huge. Kyle Zimmer was with Josh Staumont and Scott Barlow as three guys that Mike Matheny could turn to for multiple innings on consecutive days. And these guys were putting up zeros consistently. Losing a guy like that, sure, they're replacing him with Jacob Junis, and I think Junis can fill that role well moving forward. But Kyle Zimmer's been filling that role well for the past year and a half. So even though the bullpen started off the season as the strength, I think there are a lot of question marks right now with that bullpen. Bottom line, yes, pitching will be the reason why this team falls short of the postseason. Pitching doesn't necessarily have to be the reason why anyone calls this season a disappointment. Let's recalibrate, realize we're 1/6 of the way through this 162-game march. A lot of baseball to go, and this team is already well ahead of expectations. I think a natural regression was expected.
We're playing Hey Vern. We'll do this every Tuesday in the 3 o'clock hour just to get Vern's thoughts on what you guys want to ask him about the Royals. Hashtag Hey Vern, why did they demote Jacob Junis to the pen and not Keller?
Because, as I mentioned, Kyle Zimmer gone. Kyle Zimmer was your third best reliever behind Staumont and Barlow. Moving Brad Keller to the bullpen doesn't make the bullpen any better. We've seen Jacob Junis thrive out of the bullpen at the tail end of last year. Because even last year, it was just fastball slider with Jacob Junis. He develops a cutter this offseason. That's going to make him quite the dangerous weapon. He can become that third best or fourth best behind Jake Brents, third or fourth best bullpen reliever. Moving Jacob Junis to the bullpen helps elevate that pen back to being a net positive. You move Brad Keller to the bullpen, and I don't believe that Brad Keller's a guy that you're going to put in a critical situation in the sixth or seventh inning for a number of reasons. Hasn't pitched out of the bullpen since his rookie season. And number two, the issue right now with Brad Keller is confidence. So I don't know if I'm trying to throw him in a tie game in the seventh inning and say, hey, man, keep us in this. Jacob Junis to the bullpen makes your pitching staff better. Brad Keller, is a must. Brad Keller has to be a starter, has to be a quality starter, or else this team is going to probably have a difficult time reaching that 75 win plateau. So the team is better with Jacob Junis in the bullpen and Brad Keller in the rotation, as far as I see it.
Hashtag Hey Vern. Hey Vern, with the way you're sounding, it sounds like Kyle Zimmer is just flat out gone, like not coming back. When do you expect him to be back? What's a reasonable timetable for Kyle Zimmer's return?
Yeah, we actually had a chance to talk with Mike Matheny about just that earlier today. And it doesn't sound serious as far as a season-ending injury, but that's what managers do, right? Managers always try to downplay pitching injuries. They're how did he phrase it? Left trap, I believe. Left trap strain. So at least it's not the throwing arm, but once he gets a full range of motion, is what Mike Matheny said. Once he gets full range of motion, he'll start throwing once again. So I'm not nervous as far as Kyle Zimmer being lost for the season. I'm not worried about Kyle Zimmer being lost for anywhere longer than another 2-3 weeks.
You're the only person here at the station that I don't really mind when you drop names, because every time we talk baseball with Cody, he will always talk to us about how he texted JJ Piccolo. Like, he will make it a point. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. When we could be talking to him about who does he pick for in the hot dog derby between mustard, ketchup, and relish, he'd be like, well, I texted JJ Piccolo. He's a big relish guy. That ain't got nothing to do with the story we were just talking about.
It's a nice flex, though. JJ's a pretty cool dude.
No, he always is going to do that. Everybody on the – I would say right now the text line is a combination between what's wrong with Brad Keller, what do you make of Alcides Escobar, and Bobby Witt Jr. How many days a week do you get asked about Bobby Witt Jr.?
Not as often as you think, but that's also because I have hundreds of people muted on Twitter.
That's
but as far as Bobby Witt Jr., man, I would expect not a fast track, but – look, if the team keeps winning, Bobby Witt Jr. is a major reinforcement. So, sure, Mondesi's on his way back, but if they keep winning, if they remain atop this American League Central, there's just no way, if he produces at a consistent basis and remains healthy, there's just no way Bobby Witt Jr. isn't in the big leagues before September.
Last question here. Hey, Vern, what's your Chipotle order?
Nah, this isn't going to go well. Chipotle's trash. I'm not a Chipotle guy. My wife is obsessed with it. She'll get it 3 or 4 times a week. That's not me. But if I am, I mean, I have an order. Everybody has an order. I just begrudgingly make it. It's a, I can go bowl or burrito with brown rice. Give me that chicken. Give me those peppers. Let me get that black bean, some cheese, maybe a little bit of guac on that bad boy. Get some corn, and I'm straight.
I called one of Rob's Chiefs opinions yesterday trash, and he didn't have the look on the face like he had when you just said that Chipotle was trash.
That's fine. That's fine. It's just you know what drives me crazy is how much food they jam into these burritos, and then just watching that person fold it over and try to squeeze all this disgust. No. It's just too – you don't need to be eating that much. It's like 2 servings. It's enough.
I actually feel like they don't give you enough meat in there. Like, they are
okay,
always
yeah, but chill
stingy.
Out on the rice.
Oh, I mean, I actually want more rice to compensate for the fact that they gave me 7 pieces of chicken.
Should the tortilla be as stretchy as it is? Shouldn't it burst with that much food in it? I don't trust
See,
it.
I stopped getting the Chipotle burrito for that same reason. Like, I didn't like picking it up, and then it would just, like, it would just fold in your hand. It was terrible. I couldn't get it.
Yeah, you go I tacos or bowl. That's the ideal way to go.
That is our guy.
I'm not as down on the queso as everybody else, so there's another bad take by me.
The queso was one of those things that I was willing to try early, but none of the reviews were very high on the Chipotle queso. So I just made my mind up that I don't have any interest in ever trying it. Like, it might be amazing right now.
It's okay. It's
like,
okay.
Like, first impression was not strong with me with the queso. So I'm out. I have no interest in it.
It's not bad, but if she's going, you might as well pick me up something. Grab me some chips and queso.
That is our guy, Josh Vern. You're every Tuesday at 3:30. We will do a new segment called Hashtag 8 Vern. Will you get a chance to ask him your Royals question? And we'll get more of his food opinions. Thanks, Vern.
All right, man.